Well, welcome to Healing School, Semester 3. Healing comes through personal cleansing. And today we are looking at the module Dismantling the Stronghold of Unforgiveness. The other day I was taking a walk through the neighborhood. And oftentimes, when you see people with their dogs and you say hi, they're really very friendly. But when you see people that are walking by themselves, a lot of times I'll say hi, and they just walk right past like they didn't hear me. Or they might look at me like, "Why are you saying hi to me?" kind of look, you know. And I found that kind of bothered me a bit. And I stereotyped my neighborhood. I thought, wow, this isn't a very friendly neighborhood. Well, during this time right now, I'm in a different neighborhood. And so I'm walking, and there was a woman coming, and she had her mask on, and I had my mask on, and she was on the other side of the street, and I'm walking on this side of the street, and I said, hi. And she just kept right on walking, and I thought, huh. But as she walked by, I could hear the sound of music. And I realized she couldn't read my lips. She didn't see me say hi. I didn't wave. And she had earbuds. She couldn't hear what I said. And so I thought, wow. I just took offense. And there was no reason to take offense, but I took offense. And I realized, wow, I have work to do on this area of unforgiveness, of offense, and getting rid of these things so that we don't have to do them anymore and get those demons out. This is Healing School Semester 3. So I repented and I renounced the demons. I forgave myself and I realized that, there's a stronghold there that I had stereotyped my neighborhood thinking it's not friendly, when really maybe it was me. And I was saying hi for the wrong reason. I was saying hi so that I would be acknowledged. I wanted reciprocation. I thought if I say hi and they don't say hi back, that person is rude. Instead of I'm saying hi because I'm friendly and it doesn't matter their response. So it might seem like a small thing, but really it just is indicative of things that go on throughout the day and I don't necessarily realize that was a sin. I grew up in a family, as we all did, and we realize there's things that I learned that probably are not godly. Reactions and ways to respond to people that are not right. But I take it for granted that it is because that's how I grew up. And I have to re-examine everything in the light of God's word. Because God is our Heavenly Father. We're in a different family now. And we have the opportunity to be like our Father. And He's given us the manual. He's given us everything that we need to accomplish that. And His grace fashions us as we put ourselves in front of Him and say, Lord, change me. Help me. Help me to understand your ways. That's what Moses did. He said, Lord, I want to know your ways. The Israelites wanted to know his commandments. What am I supposed to do? But Moses wanted to know God's ways. And we want to take on God's ways, to take on his character, to put it on, and to take off the old. We don't need that. So let's look at our introduction here. Unforgiveness is one of the most subtle of sins. It is one of the most dangerous. It requires us to be very vigilant to seek it out and remove it from our heart, soul, and mind. The evil one uses unforgiveness bred by offense to undermine our prayers and derail our growth by opening doors to a myriad of other sins. For example, the faith and authority of Mark 11, 22 through 24 is undermined by the unforgiveness of verses 25 and 26. So, what is this stronghold of unforgiveness? It begins with unmet expectations. I was expecting this woman to say hi back, and when she didn't, I was disappointed. So we go from unmet expectations to disappointment. And then I felt rejected. Wow, doesn't she know who I am? What's going on here? Why did she not say hi? I felt rejected. And then offense came in. How do I know that? Because it was like I went like this, a tightening of my muscles, like, and the breathing in. I felt that offense. And then, I mean, immediately, this is even before I heard the music as she was walking by, I heard my mouth start to talk. Like, well, yeah, okay, yeah, sure. Right? Murmur, grumble, and complain. That is a high indicator of unforgiveness. But when I heard the music, all of a sudden, that all went away because my expectations changed. Oh, well, she didn't hear me. So I can't expect her to say hi. So it's our expectations. We need to lower our expectations of other people. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit then to help us to have our own expectations of ourself and to be loving, kind, and forgiving, tender-hearted, and not have expectations on other people, but to allow people to be who they are. And if their response is something that is deemed rude, why would we take that on? Why would we internalize that? That makes no sense. So if somebody is rude, it's sort of like they've got a little package of doggy doo-doo and they're throwing it at me. Why would I stand there and catch it? It doesn't make sense. No, I would sidestep that and allow it to pass and still be clean. That person was rude, but I don't need to internalize it and say it's about me because that's pride. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's like a violent throwing it away, like, woo. As soon as you see any of that in yourself, just whoosh. No, I don't receive that. Verse 32, and be you kind one to another. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Very important. The sins of offense and unforgiveness. There's a list of sins here. Anger and bitterness, gossip, strife, evil speaking. There's a list of these sins in the scriptures. The different parts of the books in the Bible have lists of sins. And if you go through some of that and look at it and see, Lord, is this in me? Is this in me? Show me. How is this affecting my life? Because these sins that are listed here, rage, hate, wrath, backbiting, clamor, All of these kinds of things are outcroppings of unforgiveness. If you look at some of these, you can see that the tongue is involved. Gossip. Gossip is really a polite form of murder because we are doing a character assassination of someone. We're taking what we think is bad and talking about it and talking about it and passing it on. And we're making other people then think differently about someone. Strife. Strife. Lots of talking when there's strife. Evil speaking. If we have evil speaking, we're making sure that someone looks bad in someone else's eyes. So someone might say, "Oh, you know, I just really appreciate so and so. They're such a nice person. Oh, I just really love that person. I want to get to know that person better. I really like that person." And if someone's in unforgiveness and offense, they might go, "Oh, yeah, right." And that person's like, "What? What do you mean?" "Well, they're okay." "Well, why do you say that?" "Well, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't really be talking like that. You wouldn't really think they're that great." "Why?" "Well, da 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 da." "Really? Oh my gosh. Wow, I didn't know that." So what was in the person's heart that was doing the evil speaking came out and defiled not only the person speaking, but the listener. Defiled that person because now their perception is different. And now they're looking at someone with different eyes that was painted by this person who was walking in offense and unforgiveness, who was doing the evil speaking. There's rage. That's anger that's turned outward. And the opposite of that is depression. That's anger turned inward. There's hate and wrath. Another one's of the tongue, backbiting. Clamor, which is arguing. So a lot of the sins that are involved, that the scriptures describe, involve the tongue. So we need to watch what we say. We need to affirm scriptures over our tongue because the tongue will decide between death and life. There's confusion and malice and violence and murder. And we can say, "Oh, yeah, I can see how all that comes out of unforgiveness. I can see that." But you say, "Well, but I'm not violent. I don't do that kind of thing." Well, what about sarcasm? Sarcasm means, the definition of sarcasm is to cut, like a knife, to cut. And not only that, but sarcasm is saying something that's the opposite of what you mean. It's like, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, really. Oh yeah, I like that person." "Oh, no, you don't. You don't like that person." And the way in which you just said it's cutting. Or a woman walks in and you just say to the person next to you, "I really like that dress." "Oh, no, you don't." And you just cut that person. You just cut. It's called sarcasm. And it hurts, especially if someone hears that about them. It hurts. Part B, identify unforgiveness. We look for every place the evil one has convinced you to hold offense, unforgiveness, or bitterness. Don't forget to identify your sinful thoughts, feelings, motives, and behavior in each interaction. Leave no stone unturned, but do this with the Holy Spirit so you don't meditate on what they did. So there's a list here of possibilities that are common in people's lives of relationships that we have. And to me, one of the dangers, I guess, of having a list like this is that as people read it, all of a sudden the demons go, "Ugh, I remember that." There's a flashback of what happened, and they're like, "Ugh." And then it's like that memory then is triggered, and it goes over and over in your mind, and you're like rehearsing it. And pretty soon, an hour's gone by, and you realize, wow, I was supposed to repent, renounce, break this thing, but I'm still thinking about it because it's going over and over again. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. Right? And the thing is, if you're not careful, pretty soon you're going to be talking to somebody who's not there because it's the memory of that person. And you're arguing, well, if she said this, I should have said that. And if I would have said this, well, she would have said that. And then I would say this. And then this would happen. Ah! And now you're having a conversation with somebody who's not there. That is a sure sign of bitterness. So when we look at a list like this, don't think about what they did. Don't think about that part. Instead, before you even go into this, you need to prepare yourself and you need to meditate on God's love for you. Meditate on God's love. And then with the Holy Spirit, then you can go through a list like this. And when a memory comes up, then the Holy Spirit can help you to identify what were my thoughts, what were my feelings, what were my motives in this situation, what were my words, and what did I do? And what can I identify as sin in any of that? And the Holy Spirit will help you to identify these things for your life because we're not analyzing what they did. We're analyzing yourself so that you can be set free. And as we go through these things, then we need to understand that we are no longer going to be bound by memories. And we're not going to be bound by demons that will bring up those memories and cause you to rehearse sin in your mind. I kind of think of the Chinese finger trap. It's just, you look at it and you think it's just a hollow piece of paper. But they say, okay, put your finger in this side. Okay, great. Now put your other finger in there. And you're like, okay, all right. Okay, now remove your fingers. And you're like, ugh, I can't get out of this finger trap. And the more you pull, the tighter it gets. And you're like, ah, how do I get out of here? And the person walks away, and you're like, hey, don't leave me here. So you want to get this finger trap off of you. But how do you do that? Well, you need to surrender and put your fingers together, and that loosens the paper, and then you're able to pull out a finger and then pull out the other finger. So as we are repenting, renouncing, breaking, casting demons out of us, we're surrendering to the Holy Spirit and to this process, and these demons then leave. The demons leave, and we are set free from this trap. Because when we rehearse offense, we're like pulling like this and we're stuck. But when you put on humility and you put on love, then you relax and you can get out of this trap. There was a woman in the neighborhood where Pastor Joshua and Pastora Sarah live, and she was bound to a wheelchair, and she would go up and down the sidewalk, and they never ever saw her walk. They always saw her in the wheelchair. And one day she had an issue with her garage door or something in the garage. So Pastor Joshua went over to help her, and he did. And she invited them in. So there they come into their house, her house, and they were speaking with her, and they were able to minister to her and led her in a long prayer to forgive her sister. So that was great. Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye. And the next day, they saw her outside, and she was in her garden, and she was doing what she does in her garden, pulling weeds, whatever. And they were just amazed, like, wow. And she was amazed. She had nothing to do with that wheelchair. She was set free because she had surrendered and forgave her sister. Now, some of the times in semester three, we've gone through semester one and two. We've already gone through a year, and now we're in semester three, and we're moving into that year and a half. And we've given out so much information, and we think, oh my gosh, how can I do it all? But you need to do something. Do something every day that brings you closer to where you're doing the things that are laid out in healing school so that you can get yourself set free. And so here we are, and we're talking about unforgiveness. Well, we talked about unforgiveness in semester one. We talked about unforgiveness in semester two, and now again in semester three. But there's still a lot of people who are bound by unforgiveness, and they have fallen into a lot of these traps of strife and gossip and evil speaking and arguing. So we need to apply these truths to our lives so that we can be set free. So remember, what is the disciple? Disciple is the one who acts on the word. And the word, the truth, makes you free. And that's how you get it into your heart. So we need to get rid of the iniquities of our heart by acting and doing and speaking the word. In James chapter 3, it says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. So if there's envying and strife in your heart, it's become a way of life. And don't lie against the truth. Don't say, oh, well, it's not a big deal. Nah, that's okay. No, you're lying against the truth. If that envying and strife is in your heart, do not rejoice in that. Do not glory in that. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So are you still struggling with issues in your health? break these curses, break this stronghold of unforgiveness. Repent, forgive, renounce, break, and cleanse out the demons. So we have the expanded prayer for breaking curses and steps for personal cleansing. So you already have access to these things. Do them. Act on them. It's not enough just at the end of your day to look back and see, oh yeah, okay, all right, I did that sin, that sin, that sin. No. Be vigilant and put all these sins away from you with all malice. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you God's ways. And so when you recognize that you're coming out of joy, peace, and patience, then you know that there's something that's come between there, broken that fellowship with God. And you need to come back and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what just happened there? Okay, yes, rewind the tape. Oh, that's where it happened. Okay. And then you break those curses and you come back into fellowship with God and you cast that demon out. Don't tolerate demons in your life. Don't live with them. If they're in that corner and I'm in my corner, hey, we can live together, that's okay. No, it's not okay. Identify, what are these sins? Because that demon is behind that sin. If there's strife, there's a demon of strife. Cast it out. And remember, focus on you. Focus on, what am I doing to contribute? What did I just say? Oh my gosh, Lord, help me. And then repent, renounce, and break. Cast out that demon. Focus on it. Because it takes two to tango. And if you're like this, and you're free, here comes the strife. Well, there's no strife because there's nothing to strife against. And they're like, and the demon goes, huh? Okay, well, walk away. Right? It takes two. If somebody comes at me, most of the time, thank God, it's becoming more and more often, I'm able to disassociate and not internalize their anger. I don't want to internalize it. It's not mine. I'm okay. They have a problem because demons are ruling what they're saying and doing. So I can have some compassion for that person. But if I internalize that anger, well, now I'm participating. I am engaging, and I'm getting back into that Chinese finger trap. I don't want to be in that trap. I want to be free. So we forgive ourselves for taking offense and behaving and speaking wrongly. And we forgive the person and pray blessings over him or her. And we put that offense under the blood of Jesus. We meditate on God's love as you go through the process of forgiving. When we put the offense under the blood of Jesus, and we put the things that I feel, the things I've said that are ungodly, I put all of that under the blood of Jesus, and then sins are washed away. And I put on humility, I put on love, so that I can be like Jesus in any situation. It takes practice and it takes the help of God, but you put yourself in that secret place and God can mold you and shape you like the potter and the clay, and he can make you into that masterpiece. But you have to yield to the hand of God on your life. You need to yield to love, yield to forgiveness, yield to not taking offense, so that you can get out of that trap and not go back in. Don't go back in. And demons are going to try to help you remember. And you count that as a sin because that's a demon talking to you. And you cast that demon away. No. And after you cast demons out, you don't want them to come back in. You protect yourself in love. You have a barrier of love. God shed his love in your heart. And you can meditate on that love, and it will be a shield about you. An offense just doesn't seem to reach here. And my emotions are cushioned in God's love. So, letter D, replace the iniquity in the heart, soul, and mind with God's word. We have pride, self-righteousness, and self-centeredness. And the key word there is self. We're called to die to self. Die to self already. And because there's that pride, we want for God to fix that person. Instead of God fix me, God change me. But pride and self-centeredness and self-righteousness will say, God change that person. Fix that person so that I can be okay. So that I don't have to be disturbed by that person's sins anymore. Now, that's pride. Put on humility. Do not justify your right to be offended. Well, God, if you only knew what that person, well, you do know. You know what that person's like. No. Put on humility. Judgmental, critical of actions, words, and motivations. A lot of times I think that when we say to somebody, hey, I would like for you to pray. I want you to pray, please. My spouse, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba. Kind of like Charlie Brown when the teacher's talking. Wah 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 wah. And we complain to someone we're asking to pray. We complain and we say, oh, well, we're just processing. I'm just processing. What happened there, so I'm just kind of talking about it. And they're like, wow, please don't do that. What do you want prayer for? Don't tell me your problems. Tell me what you want. Tell me the solution. Tell me what it is you want God to do. And let's get the word of God in here and let's look at that mirror and say, hey, let's see. What would God do? What would Jesus do in this situation? So we need to esteem others as more important. Love does not keep track of a suffered wrong. So we're esteeming other people and giving of ourselves. And as we give of ourselves, then we are dying to self because self comes in. Self is inward focused. But when you are giving, then self doesn't have anything, any direction. It's not coming back. It's dying already. And self-protection. People have a feeling of fear and of being vulnerable. And fear comes in. Fear comes this direction. People retract. They come in like this. Their shoulders go up and their eyes go like this. And that's fear. They're trying to make themselves smaller. Then, and people get offended. You can hear it because they go, oh, like that. Fear and these kinds of negative things, they are coming this direction, inward. And it's kind of like the current. It brings the demons right in with it. It's like, whew, bringing them in. Because people feel the need to protect themselves. Love, on the other hand, is outward. It's gregarious. It's out there. It's esteeming others. It is giving. It's agape love. And love opens up. And love is coming from the heart, coming through the soul and the mind, and coming out your tongue and your actions. It's coming out like that. So you can have fear that comes this direction with self-protection, or you can make God your protector. God is your rock. God is your defense. He's your high tower. So when God is your protector, now you're out like that. And there's no fear. I know that when I was new to healing school and I was learning about casting out demons and binding demons and establishing the kingdom of God and all these wonderful things that we've learned, I was pretty new. And I started getting into this thing where there's somebody that I don't particularly desire to be around. And I would think, oh, well, I'm going to bind the demons in that person. I'm going to make that person behave themselves by binding the demons in them. And that way, I can be okay. I didn't see anything wrong with that. But the Holy Spirit showed me that that's self-righteousness. That is not why we do that. If we're trying to minister the gospel to someone, bind the demons in that person so that they can hear the gospel. That's love. If they're hurting themselves, you can bind the demons so that they're not hurting themselves. But the motivation for binding demons in other people is not for my benefit. It's for their benefit. It's for what the circumstances call for in whatever's happening. But if I'm doing it so that I can be okay, so I bind those demons to manage people, that's not godly. And I'm ashamed to say that was what a lot of my motivation was. And we're learning these things and we're going to be making these mistakes, but we get to learn from each other. We can talk about these things. So I found that if there's somebody that's in the room that irritates me, I bind the demons in me. I bind the demons in me. In Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus went over with his disciples across the Sea of Galilee and they went to the land of the Gadarenes, they met the demoniac there. And the first thing he said was, "What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Have you come to torment us before the time? What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth?" They recognized that Jesus had no demons. Their demons had nothing to interact with. They were looking to see how can they manipulate, control, do whatever to Jesus. But Jesus had no demons. There was nothing in common. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to torment us? Instead of, we're here to torment you. So when we bind the demons in ourselves and prepare ourselves to go into a situation where so-and-so, I have found that when I do that, I can be okay. Their demons are manipulating those people or that person, and it didn't affect me. I remember I went to a restaurant with a whole group of people, and this person sat across from me, and I'm thinking, okay, all right, not a problem. And they began what always used to bother me. They began, and like, ah, nah, 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 and I just was like, wow, there's like this barrier of love, and it's not even bothering me. And when it didn't bother me, that person, they were like, and now I went, because I didn't respond the way they expected me to. So then they came around with this angle to do something, say something, which would normally bother me. And it didn't bother me. And you could see the surprise look on that person's face. And I realized, that's not the person, that's the demon surprised. That demon is surprised because it always used to get me. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I am enjoying this conversation. And I felt at peace. I had joy. I was okay. I was just so happy. I thought, wow, this thing really, really works. It's amazing. So if there's nothing in you that other people's demons can interact with, they're going to go away, or they're going to be okay, or they're going to do something with somebody else. Don't allow other people's demons to influence you where you internalize what they're saying and making it your own, and now anger and frustration and disappointment and rejection and all these things come up in you, and you're like, no, don't internalize what they're doing. Forgive them. And part E, actions of forgiveness. Love your enemies, bless them, do good to them, pray for them which use you and persecute you. From Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. I know that there was a person, in fact, it was the same person that I'm talking about in that restaurant. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to do something nice for them. Do good to them. And so we talked about it, the Holy Spirit and I decided I'm going to give them a large sum of money anonymously. And I did. And I remember putting it in the mailbox and thinking, wow, Lord, I feel so good. Because remember, fear retracts and love extends. So I was doing an act of love that was selfless for that person because I knew they needed some money. And I was able then to rejoice and feel and experience God's love for me and through me to that person. And I felt so free. It was so free. Because it's not enough for us to say, I forgive that person, you know, and I bind the demons in me and I cast out whatever, but I just, okay, you know, that's it. I love that person. I love that person. Well, demonstrate it. Talk is cheap. You know, if you love somebody, let them know. Do something nice. Say something kind. And I remember I had a roommate one time that, this was before I was in ABC, and this person was very, very demonized. And I really was exasperated, didn't know what to do. And I remember on the street, I was washing my car, and this person's car was in front of mine, and I was about to go on vacation. So I was washing my car. And the Holy Spirit said, wash their car. And I went, no! Okay. All right. So I'm washing it. And as I'm washing it, I started to feel free. I started to realize, wow, this is great. I'm doing something kind. Instead of shrinking up and being angry, I'm extending love in my action. I am physically doing something here. I am demonstrating love for love's sake, not because I want something, but because the Holy Spirit said to do it, and I'm washing the car. And by the time I was done, I felt so loving, and I had forgiven this person, and I was, wow, this is wonderful. Because love protects, love extends, and love is freeing. And it's so much better than staying in offense and unforgiveness. I don't want to be in that finger trap. Ah! I want to surrender to the process of God's love. When God says do it, do it, and it will set you free. When you do the word, it'll make you free. God's love becomes tangible. It's wonderful. It's amazing. So we want to dismantle the stronghold of unforgiveness and go back in your life. But remember, go back with the Holy Spirit into situations of your past where you were acting in unforgiveness, strife, gossip, backbiting, any of these kinds of sins. And the Holy Spirit then, as you work together and you're meditating on love as you're going through this process of tearing down the strongholds through repent, forgive, renounce, break, and cleanse out the demons, the Holy Spirit will change you. If there's a situation like this and one person changes, that dynamic is changed. That dynamic changes. And if there's nothing that demon has in common with you, then it's going to go find something else. So I hope this has been helpful. It's been helpful for me. And it's a beautiful thing to walk in forgiveness. God is amazing. Get in that secret place with God and put yourself in position for the potter to mold you. Stand under that waterfall of grace. And dismantle the stronghold of unforgiveness. Thank you.